Good morning and welcome to Forja Taurus S.A. web conference to discuss results relative to Q2 2017. All participants are connected as listen-only mode to the webcast. Later, we'll have a Q&A session, which will take place only in writing through our online platform. Before moving on, we'd like to clarify that possible forward-looking statements made during the call concerning the company's business outlook and also its controlled and affiliated companies' operating targets and projections, and also financial targets, are based on the company's beliefs and assumptions and also on information currently available. They involve risks and uncertainties as they refer to future events, which depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the company's future performance and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. Once again, this audio conference is being recorded and it will be made available at the company's IR website. I'd like also to inform that this meeting will be conducted by Mr. Thiago Piovesan, the company's administrative and financial officer, and also the company's IRO. Mr. Piovesan, you have the floor. You may carry on, sir. Good morning, everyone. Thanks. Thanks once again for joining us on our quarterly results web conference. We're going to be talking about results of the second quarter. As usual, we are now in an exclusively digital format, and all participants will have the chance to submit their questions in writing via our digital platform. And then at the end of the presentation, we'll be happy to answer questions or comments that you may have and that you submit via our digital platform. Now, I would like to invite you all to follow the presentation on the slides. The slides are available on our digital platform as well. Now, moving on to slide number 4, where we have the highlights of the second quarter, a first part of the highlights. This second quarter was, without a doubt, one of the most important and most challenging quarter in the last for the last quarters. We had Donald Trump's election, and we have some of the reflections of that election. The result was more adverse than we expected, and since this is a very important market for the company's revenues, the U.S. market corresponds to about 85% of our consolidated revenue, so undoubtedly anything that happens there will impact our results, as we will see. This trend in the U.S., which is shown in numbers on the first slide, we had already noticed it and also signaled it in the first quarter, a trend of lower demand when compared to the end of 2016, especially throughout 2016, but starting in 2015, and that eventually became more pronounced and stressing the challenges we had to restructure the company, right, which is we started last year, and we are now expect to reap some of the benefits of this restructuring. In any event, this drop in demand in that market, it started with Donald Trump's election in the U.S. Trump, as we know, has a view which is much less aggressive in terms of restriction to gun purchase and gun control, which is the opposite of what we saw in the previous administration. So when we no longer had that concern or that pressure on the market, so people were less concerned with gun restriction, and that led to a drop in the purchase levels. It was business as usual, I'd say. Of course, at a higher level than historically, but that was a very atypical period because of the political transition. But when we compare volumes and levels of previous years, or the previous year in particular, without a doubt, demand dropped significantly. That's an environment where we we were working throughout this new model. And we didn't expect it to happen because, as you know, Hillary was expected to win. So we were caught by surprise with Hillary's defeat, and that, of course, impacted our industry in general. If we observe the earnings release of our competitors, especially in the U.S., we see that the industry was affected across the board because of this political transition. And also our competitors, the main companies, the main players in this ring, were also caught by surprise. They were all, and we were all, at a very high production level to keep up with this higher demand that the market had been showing. And along the same lines, distributors were also with high inventories. The U.S. market is a mainly civil market, so distributors along the same lines were working with higher than average inventories. They were getting ready, of course, to a continued strong demand, given the expectation that the political model would be carried on by Hillary. But then, things turned out to be different, as we all know. So starting with this change in market, especially the second quarter, even after some adjustment time, there was a natural adjustment in the industry's market, or in the industry's inventory levels. We realized in the second quarter a drop in purchase on the part of distributors, which confirmed that they confirmed orders, which were outstanding from 2016. That's a natural cycle. But then in the second quarter, because of this market adjustment, we also saw distributors adjusting their working capital, thus reducing demand on their part, so that they can, of course, the distributors can rebuild their cash positions and prepare for what's coming, right? Yeah. We have now, we're now going through the summer vacation in the U.S., which seasonally is a period, or historically, it's a seasonable low period in terms of demand and purchases. Because of that, the situation in the U.S., as a reflex of this drop in demand, of this need to readjust working capital by distributors, and also having manufacturers having high production levels, well, in the end, what we saw was an intensification of a more promotion-driven market. So many gun manufacturers started to offer significant discounts in order to bring inventory levels down. And, of course, the market tried to reap the benefits of this new scenario. So even though the impact in terms of volume might not have been that large because this promotion-driven environment sparked up some appetite, if you will, on the other hand, margins suffered significantly from that more intense promotional strategy. On the slide, we see some indications. The National Instant Background Check System, which is an indicator that shows the intention to buy arms in the U.S., they reflect purchase orders as well, that we're talking about a civil market again. In this second quarter, there was a decline of the indicator of 15.6% when we compare that to the first quarter of this year. And that when we compare that to the first half of last year, there was a 7% drop. So this is all a reflection, once again, of this political moment, and we're talking about the largest gun market in the world. our biggest challenge in this scenario, of course, is to go through this market period, which is more, if you will, restricted, more fragile, with a less favorable financial position. We're coming from restructuring, both financial and operational. So our cash is being used for those operations. And of course, this higher leverage level is also a source of concern, and that happens both in the financial and in the operational front, our debt. So those are major challenges for the company, and we have been focusing strongly, dedicating a significant effort on those fronts with the objective of recovering margins. So company sales in the U.S. filed 131.2 million BRLs in the second quarter, which is a drop of something close to 20% when compared to the first quarter of this year. And the year-to-date for 2017, however, our revenues went up 6.9% when compared to sales posted in the same period of last year. Our challenge, as I said, becomes increasingly relevant because in the short term, we still have to live with the scenario. We have to work strongly in this American market where demand is lower. And at the same time, we have a more competitive environment. And this is the main characteristic of the market at this moment. Today in the U.S., I can tell you that because of promotional sales conducted by most of the industry, as long as we have high inventory levels, the market seems to be slightly saturated when compared to last year in terms of gun volumes, because the distribution market is now using this resource of special offers, quote-unquote, to be able to bring their average cost levels down. And with that, their inventories remain at a high level when compared to what they wanted to. When we compare, and you can also see that publicly, the NICS index for the month of July, right after we closed the quarter, the NICS indicator dropped 25% when compared to June, the previous month, not only because of market conditions, but because of the impact caused by the summer vacations, right? July and August are historically months where we have that. But this indicator showed, in any event, a very significant drop when compared to June. So the trend for the coming months, if we try to look ahead, as it happened in July, and we already can feel that in August, looking forward, this market is not expected to experience sharp positive changes, but it shouldn't drop any further either. So it should remain a more stable market with a reduced production level and with a reduced level of trade than seen before. I think an important point for us to highlight concerning that competitive environment is that the adversity that we see in the market because of that political transition has been or has smoothed in our company because of a change in our productive model and because of the long process of preparation the company has gone through for the past years. So if we compare the mix, for example, the year-to-date for 2017, we see a drop of 7%, whereas our revenues in the same period has advanced 7% as well. So when we look at the volume of sales in units, the company's market share, given that we're growing 17% year-to-date, when compared to the same period of 2016. Just to recap what was done throughout the past 2 years, which allows the company today to compete in terms of operating efficiency, production resources, product quality, and technology, and so on. All those were built throughout the past years and have been instrumental for the company to be able to get today to a better position, even though, of course, we are facing some challenges, as I mentioned. But we are in a position to fight for a place in a market which is the most competitive in the world. Being just good is not enough. You need really to distinguish yourself. And Taurus today is in a position to fight for a real share in this market. And this was all made possible, going back a little bit, that's possible from changes, not only in the control of the company, which were approved in February of 2015, but also because of several initiatives and actions which were implemented or have been implemented since then to allow us to have today operating conditions which are very competitive. Just to highlight the main initiatives besides the corporate change in 2015, we also consolidated our three manufacturing units in the Rio Grande do Sul. Now we have a single plant. This happened at the end of 2015 and early 2016. The new management model, which was implemented and showed a significant increase in production in the last 2 years. So that leaves us room to adapt to this new scenario in terms of volume. Modernization of our manufacturing process, safety controls, and a total focus on quality, which has been happening throughout this transition period, the restructuring period. Implementation of the SAP system, which brought on board important management tools. We needed that. The company didn't have that until December 2015, so we're talking about only 2 years. As for the environment, amidst all this adverse scenario, the environmental arm has been always prioritized by the company with important investments in that area, which allows us to have a very distinguished position regarding to that. A restructuring of an important share of our financial debt. We have extended our payments, and today this reflects better conditions in the company's balance sheet. We resumed investments in new products, you know, offering a portfolio of products, and we are also improving existing models. That's a very relevant point because that marks or represents a distinction between the commodity market in the civil market in the U.S. because those products offer an extra feature to clients. Before we had the political transition, there were two main drivers in terms of intentions to purchase. One of them, the constant threat represented by restrictions, and which by itself leads people to anticipate their purchases, so the market was afraid that overnight a new control, a new restriction could come up in terms of gun purchase. And a second point, without a doubt, this appetite for innovation, for new things that we see in that market, that's an important item for that market. So to resume a very active portfolio in terms of new products, of innovation, that's very important for the company strategically. And in this environment where we work, where most of our revenues come from, is very important. So now we have a renewed portfolio. So for this new post-Trump period, we might lose some of the first driver. In other words, that threat, that pressure on restrictions, but we still have the second driver, which has to do with the appetite for innovation. And that's where we base our recovery. And this has been in our DNA for some time. And as I said, new launches, new products, which will help us move ahead. Still among the initiatives we conducted for the past 2 years to be able to be here at a better, more competitive position, I'd like to underline the recovery of our export market, outside the U.S. And this quarter, and we'll see in the coming slides, that sales to those markets, even though as a whole they do not account for a significant share, but when we compare quarter on quarter, it has contributed significantly for the company's growth, and it is part of the company's strategy. It needs to be saved because we need to reduce risks, and that's one of the resources we have. So on top of all of those items, the restructuring and so on, I'd like also to mention the efforts we have been making to get closer to clients in trying to identify problems and in finding solutions for all cases and reinforcing the trust that the client can have on the company. That has absorbed a lot of energy on our part. When I say this, I'm talking about the media, negative publicity, or news that have nothing to do with the company's historical landmarks, but they do represent a daily challenge that needs to be faced. We have embraced that challenge and we are working proactively and closer to clients in terms of identifying issues, as I said, and finding the right solutions. So there are several initiatives which were conducted in the past 2 years. Of course, we needed to realign items here and there, but current market conditions tend to mask some of the benefits of all those initiatives because of the current market moment. Of course, we need to conduct strong management efforts to be able to emerge from the situation in better shape. But it's clear by now that those initiatives were vital to allow us to get to where we are in the condition that we are. In other words, to be able to work competitively, something that 2-3 years ago would represent much more complex challenges. If we were going through the same political situation we are going through now. Without a doubt, one of the most important topics we need to manage is the cash management because of our more restricted position. And we work daily on conducting initiatives to control working capital. I'll mention that in a minute. Of course, that takes up a major portion of our agenda. The idea is to get the company more prepared for more challenging moments. Moving to the next slide, slide number 5, we have the company's consolidated net revenue. We were talking about the North American market, which is the most relevant segment, the one which has more impact on the operation, but the company's net revenue in the quarter reached the level of 181.5 million BRLs, a drop of 14.5% when compared to net revenues posted in the first quarter of last year, and a drop of 8.5% when compared to the second quarter of 2016. Once again, the main driver here, as I just mentioned, was the slowdown in the North American market. The consolidated gross margin for the company in the second quarter, for the same reason, posted a drop of 0.8 percentage points when compared to the first quarter, and of 5.8 percentage points when compared to the second quarter of 2016, reaching a level of 26.6%. So even though we were less impacted in margins, we still had important impacts to be taken into account. Cash generation measured by EBITDA posted a negative balance of 4.7 million BRLs in the quarter, as opposed to a positive result of 6.1 million BRLs in the first quarter of this year, and also a negative result of 11.9 million when compared to the second quarter of 2016. We can see that the operating curve is positive and that this market and margins issues affected us in this moment of the process. Besides the performance issue in the U.S., the company has been affected by provisions for labor and civil contingencies, which reached the amount of 6.6 million BRLs in this quarter. We also highlight the volume of sales of consolidated sales by unit in the quarter posted a drop of 14.1% in the quarter when compared to the first quarter and of something close to 2% when compared to the same period of last year as a reflection of what I have just mentioned. This drop in the American market along with our higher production, we can see here that production is improving. We have increased our volume by 15% and 25% when compared to the second quarter of last year, even though our plant has reached a very important level of operating maturity in the period. But given the new demand scenario, we're going to have to work on the efficiency of our inventory. We're going to have to be using our working capital for cash purposes, and that will entail a review and of production level for the coming year so that we can adapt to this new market in the U.S., which is now reacting differently from before. So at this time, this efficiency management is vital. We need to keep inventory levels at the right point, and it makes no sense to have working capital demands right now for the coming quarters due again to this new scenario. Moving on to the next slide number 7, we have net revenues and margins by segment. The gun activity presented a revenue of 174 million BRLs in the second quarter of 2016, which is 17.7% below or lower than the previous quarter and 5.3% below that posted in the second quarter of 2016, mainly due to the slowdown in the American market. Gross margin for that segment posted 25% in the quarter, 2.6% down from the previous quarter, and 6.3% down from the second quarter of last year. Net revenue for helmets in the second quarter was 22.9 million BRLs, a growth of 14% when compared to the first quarter. But when we compare that to the same period of last year, we see a drop of 23%, which was affected by the slow performance of the economy as a whole, since helmets react to Brazilian economic and political scenario. So the Brazilian market affects not only sales, but the margins for that segment. The gross margin for helmets stood at 28.8% in the quarter, 1.5 percentage points below that posted in the first quarter of 2017. When compared to the second quarter of last year, the gross margin dropped by 3.1% as a reflection of the economic crisis I just mentioned, the slowdown in our local Brazilian market. The others segment, which accounts for a smaller share encompassing metal injection and plastic products, posted net sales of 4 million BRLs in the second quarter, down 39.4% from the first quarter of this year and 24.5% when compared to the second quarter of last year. On slide number 8, we have a breakdown of our net revenues for arms, and we talk about other countries. I mentioned that this is already part of our diversification strategy in trying to improve our portfolio. On this slide, we have sales in the internal market showing a drop of 23% in this quarter when compared to the first quarter. And when compared to the first period of last year, sales increased 4.2%, driven mainly by a growth in the civil market, since government sales remain reduced due to restricted public spending. sales to other countries, our main focus, besides the American market, which you have already covered, they posted a growth of 171%, reaching 8.4 million BRLs in the second quarter of 2017. This result also exceeds by 5% the 8 million BRLs posted in 2016 for the second quarter. In terms of volume, it's important to say that sales to Europe stood at 3.4 million BRLs in the second quarter, where we have today our main competitors. And the market has responded well to the company, which is a good sign in terms of value perception and in finding new shares of markets. Moving on to slide number 9, we have SG&A and EBITDA. In this second quarter, SG&A posted 62.3 million BRLs, up 3% when compared to the first quarter of 2017, and a drop of 23.3% when compared to the same quarter of last year, Q2 last year. It's important to remember that the second quarter of last year was impacted by a loss of 15.2 million BRLs when we sold Plasma Till, and also we had to complement a provision for the Carter case. In the half, operating expenses stood at 122.8 million BRLs, almost 20% down from what was posted in the first half of last year. Cash generation, as measured by EBITDA, as I mentioned, stood at a negative balance of 4.7 million BRLs as opposed to a positive 6.1 million BRLs in the first quarter, and also versus a negative number of 11.9 million last year. That represented the first phase of the change of our manufacturing units in San Leopoldo. And this lower performance in the American market and the impact coming from provisions and also auditing issues. So all of that made up the impact on expenses. And consequently, the results also suffered. We posted slightly over 6.5 million BRLs under that entry. In the half, first semester, consolidated EBITDA stood at 1.4 million BRLs as opposed to a negative result of 24.4 million BRLs in the previous year. Moving on to slide number 10, we have the financial result and the company's loss. In the second quarter, the financial result was negative at 62.8 million BRLs as opposed to a result which was also negative of 6 million BRLs in the first quarter. It's important to highlight that foreign exchange variations played an important role, as you can see, which is also very sensitive to the foreign exchange volatility, since the company's financial debt represents 85% of our liabilities, right? In the second quarter of 2017, that line posted a negative balance of 28.1 million BRLs as opposed to a positive value of 16.4 million BRLs in the first quarter of 2017. That negative amount in the second quarter is due mainly to a US dollar rate in June, which showed an appreciation which was 3.1% higher than that used for March 2017. That's why you have a negative balance. We also like to mention that the company's adherence to the program of tax regularization brought on board or led to the posting of 8.1 million BRLs in fines. But as a whole, it brought benefits to the company because we were able to schedule payments and we were able to overcome tax losses. As for the net result of the company, we posted a loss of 25.5 million BRLs in the quarter compared to a negative number of $6.5 million in the first quarter. In the half of year-to-date, the company had a loss of 31.9 million BRLs as opposed to a profit of 11 million in the same period of 2016, coming mainly from foreign exchange effect. That's non-cash, but rather it's an economic effect coming mainly from, as I said, foreign exchange rate issues. On slide number 11, the next slide, we have a snapshot of our company's indebtedness level. In June 2017, the company showed a gross debt of 734.8 million BRLs, 127 million of which maturing in the short term and 607.8 million maturing in the long run. As for March 2017, the gross debt saw an increase of 5%, in part because of the appreciation of the U.S. dollar, as I mentioned in the previous slide, and part because of the provisioning of interest for our debt. Cash availability and cash equivalents amount to 15.9 million BRLs in June, up 39.5%, down 39.5% to March 17, reflecting the slow performance of the U.S., the increase in inventory, the higher working capital, and consequently, when we analyze gross debt plus cash equivalents, the company's net debt increased 6.7% in this quarter when compared to the first quarter, and we closed the period at 718.9 million BRLs in terms of net debt. On the next slide, slide number 12, we talk about our need of investments in working capital. We can see a migration in the second quarter. This need for investment in working capital decreased by 19.7 million reais when compared to the previous quarter. And when we relate that to our annualized net debt, the NIG saw a 25% drop or 2.2% down when compared to the first quarter. It's worth mentioning that this drop in the need to investment in working capital is impacted by a lower accounts receivable level because of drop in sales and also coming from an increase in inventories, which has cost plus margin because, of course, there is a drop in sales. So the mix for the working capital snapshot changes a little bit. Besides, we also have the effect of our negotiations with our suppliers. So we might have increases or decreases depending on this capacity that we have to adapt the best as we can our negotiations with suppliers. On the next slide, finally, to conclude this first part of the presentation, we have a summary of our cash flow for the quarters. The main challenge in the short run is there. In the second quarter, the company presented a operating cash generation of 3 million BRLs, investment activities, and in turn, consumed 6.7 million BRLs in the period, especially due to making up new products, investments to renew our portfolio, whereas financing activities presented a cash consumption of 7.6 million BRLs in the quarter, and that combination produces this effect of 11.3 million BRLs in our cash, as mentioned before. In the previous quarter, that cash consumption stood at 3.9 million, highly impacted by financing activities, where we had an increase of capital in the first quarter. It's important to make a specific comment on our cash strategy for the second half of 2017 and for 2018. Cash is without a doubt our main focus of attention, and we may highlight a few important aspects as we look forward. First of all, I need to talk about new products, new launches. As I summarized earlier today, they are important topics in all our cash efforts, invested in CapEx, and this is ongoing, and it was directed mainly towards the development of new products. Those new launches will occupy a market which is less impacted by pricing and seasonality as the American market is, and it also opens up opportunities in other markets, as markets that we have around the world, where we expect to have important deliveries of our T4 weapon and the new Hammer Taurus pistol, which is already in production. We started manufacturing that item in August. So those are products that not only renew our portfolio, but bring about new opportunities, new market opportunities, markets which were more restricted. For the American market, we have the Spectrum pistol, which should start being manufactured in September, and which will represent an important element in that market to give support to our margin. We are aiming at that second niche of market, as I mentioned, a niche which is interested in innovation. We have already important orders for that product, so as soon as it is, as soon as production starts, it will account for a significant part of our American sales. So that's an important element. So as I said, the Hammer, which is already being produced, and as I said, Spectrum and Hammer and the T4 produced here and Spectrum manufactured in the U.S. So we have a schedule of production that's important and also a schedule for new launches for the coming periods, including 2018, in order to keep up our portfolio renovation efforts. A second important point in terms of cash, and we know that the American market is not going to present significant improvements from now until the end of the year, so we want to use our new products, which are now already in the portfolio and the new ones, but also resort to our strategy to always identify other markets, and I mean other countries. Today, we already have an important part of our operation, which is dedicated to that, and the idea is to increase our participation in other markets. The internal market in the second half of the year tends to show a better performance when we talk about public spending and earmarking for those public spending, especially for the second half and that period between the third and the fourth quarter. We have a more positive moment because budgets start being approved for the future, so we expect to have higher purchase levels than we had in the first half of the year. And that's a seasonal characteristic of our market. Okay, third point, which is also important in terms of cash management, we have important efficiency gains, which is important, something we have been after constantly. And along with our gains in efficiency gains, we have management gains because we have managed to make a better use of our working capital. And as I mentioned, we have been able to readjust volumes based on our demands. So the focus now is reorganizing our production structure, cost reduction, expense reduction, maximizing the use of our working capital so that we can have a company which will be more or better positioned in terms of margins and expenses vis-a-vis this new short-term reality. Taurus today has a production model which is called make to order. In other words, we manufacture based on market demand. We do not work with making stock, so we do not carry over high inventories, and that's very important for this moment where we're trying to manage cash. We can say that we have an important challenging scenario ahead of us. There are actions which are ongoing to help us go through this period in a more structured way so that we can reap the gains up in the future. When this new scenario becomes a reality, we'll be able to reap the benefits. And as a company, we are already trying to turn the page, and we hope to get results in the short term. So that's, or those were the main points I wanted to highlight, not only for the quarter, but for the half, and also looking forward. I here now close this first part of our meeting, and now in a few seconds we'll start our Q&A session. Once again, we are working on a platform which is 100% digital, and all questions should be sent through this channel in writing. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start our Q&A session. Our session of answers to questions which were submitted by our digital platform. Please feel free to send or submit new questions. Hello, we have a first question coming from Carlos Cushi. Carlos, thank you for your question. The question is, does Toro have plans to migrate to the new market? Carlos, not in the short run. That's not in our radar in the short run. Today, our attentions are focused on the American market. We're trying to readjust and stabilize the company the best we can throughout this period. You're talking about a very complex transition which would require a more robust financial support. So the answer is no in the short run. We're going to dedicate our focus, our energy, on readjusting to the new market reality so we can emerge in a better position in the short run. Please feel free to submit new questions. We have another question coming from Ricardo Shitney. Ricardo wants to know if, given the company's needs vis-a-vis financial flows for the coming quarters, if the company believes that the resources that will come in will be enough to meet those needs. If the answer is no, what other alternatives for resources are you thinking about? Thank you, Ricardo. As I said, we have in the second half a scenario where the dilution in the American market will be offset by some projects that we have in our pipeline, and I mentioned the T4 and the Hammer pistol, and also the growth in our domestic market and the growth in other markets will help us offset that, if not in volumes, at least in terms of margins. So that's a positive initiative, and we're going to work to confirm that, but it's pretty much in our hands. As for sales to other parts of the world, of course, it's in our hands. And locally, we depend, of course, on local economic conditions. In terms of working capital, there's a lot to be done. We have closed the quarter with a higher inventory level than average or than before. We have to manage deadlines. We need to work on short-term debt. We might need to elongate that since we have a negative scenario worldwide. But this combination of factors is what we've taken into account in terms of helping us manage our resources in this new situation, and especially the American market, as it was mentioned. Once again, feel free to submit questions. We have another question from Ricardo again. Ricardo, thank you. The question is, a significant portion of the company's assets are linked to the restructured debt. Does the company have assets which are not binded, whose sale might be taken into account? The answer is no. Our main non-core assets that we have, especially the property in Porto Alegre, they are linked to our debt restructuring. So today, in terms of assets which are not linked or bound to debt, there's nothing really major that could be taken into account in the short run. Excuse me, please feel free to submit your questions. Well, we have one more question from Ricardo. The gross margin in Q2 is negative and was impacted by a provision of 4.2 million BRLs. If we exclude that, the margin would stand at 28.9%, 1.5 percentage points higher than the first quarter, but still below that posted in the second quarter of last year. Can we have an idea of the contribution given by the mix and the company's operational maturity? Ricardo, it's difficult to give a very precise calculation, but what I can tell you is that, generally speaking, we managed to improve our production costs, not only because of an improvement in process, but also an improvement in our unit production cost. It dropped because we have higher volumes, and then we can dilute the fixed costs for the plant. But also, when we have, at the level of discount we have in the American market, those cost gains, we have to offset that. And when we talk about a drop in volume, we talk about the transition between the first and the second quarter. So today, in a scenario of reduced volume, the impact would be negative on our margin when compared to what had been done in the previous year. We're going to focus the American market, okay, because that's where the tipping point is. The American market is quite selective. It's still a buyer's market. It is, as I said, a good market for business as usual, but it has become more selective, more picky, if you will. They won't take just any product. They want new products, new models, so a way to recover our margins, something we have included in our plan, is to focus on innovation and own new products, and those will help us improve our margins that we are losing our commodity products, if you will, and we also focus on the specific SKU that the American market wants. So I'd say we are now manufacturing almost customized problems, looking at the best products, best margins, so that we can minimally, at least, offset for that margin loss. But at the current discount levels, we do not expect to recover those margins, even with those efforts. But the idea is to mitigate those effects a bit further if we can. Once again, you may feel free to submit your questions. We have one more question from Ricardo. The question is, Spectrum, T4, and Hammer, are they already being produced? When are the first deliveries scheduled for? Thank you, Ricardo, for your active participation. So let's go. We have not started production for Spectrum. We expect to start manufacturing it in September. And that's a gun which has been announced earlier this year. It is known in the market. We have already a back order list. So as long as we start manufacturing it, and as I said, we expect to start in September, this product will start contributing immediately to the company's revenues. So today we have a back order level which is higher than our delivery capacity until the end of the year. So Spectrum is wholly made and sold in the U.S. The Brazilian plant has no participation in that process. As for the T4, we have not started the production yet. We expect to start manufacturing also in September. For the T4, we already have orders. And we also have a plant. So when we start producing it, the plant will be busy or in its capacity to manufacture that particular item. And we should see results coming from those sales gradually in October, November, and December. And as we mature in terms of volume, of course, the operation will improve alongside. As for the hammer, which is the third item you asked about, the hammer is already being manufactured. We already have some contracts for that item. So it's under normal production process, and that has been so since early August. We should see results as early as September when we start with the first deliveries. And then it'll depend on the level of orders. And the good news is that it's finalized, so once an order comes in, we can deliver it immediately. And as I said, we should see results coming in the fourth quarter. All of them, in terms of revenues, will be more focused on the fourth quarter rather than on the third quarter of this year. Once again, please feel free to submit your questions. Once again, please feel free to submit your questions. We now close the Q&A session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Piovesan for his final comments. Please, Mr. Piovesan, you have the floor. Well, I'd like to thank you all for participating in this meeting, to follow along with us in this journey. We know we have major challenges ahead. We're now moving into a new market moment, which we need to fully understand and do what it needs to be done to have an efficient management. The company's cash management is the most critical item in this scenario. I'd say that operationally, the company is quite mature and ready. We have new products in our portfolio, as you could see, and the Q&A session was quite good for that. I'd like to thank the participants who asked us questions that really helped in our presentation. And we hope that this becomes a trend in our company's strategy. But without a doubt, in the short run, cash management, be it by the confirmation of orders coming from other markets other than the American, will help us manage working capital management and our debt level in the short run. And we'll be looking closely at those issues on an everyday basis, hoping to see the American market to reorganize. Once again, I do not see that happening this year. I'd like to say that we could expect that for early next year. So our strategy today is to face this harsher moment. So the idea is to be ready and well-positioned to go through this cycle and emerge in a better position up front. I'd like to thank our associates, our financial partners, our suppliers, our clients, investors, shareholders, for the trust you have deposited in us. And we'll carry on. We remain available through our IR department if you have other questions or comments. we'll be able to take them. Once again, thank you and see you next time. We'd like to thank you all for participating. Have a nice day and thank you for using Chorus Call.